Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Stories. Storytelling. Throughout the ages of time, stories have captured our attention. We have found ourselves and find ourselves listening, relating, and connecting to the story as well as to the person of the story. Having thoughts of, I'm not alone. You are not alone. We are in this thing called life together. Hey everybody, this is Dr. Deb Lind and welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Every week we bring amazing guests, whether they're subject matter experts, inspiring souls, forward thinkers, or perhaps even wounded healers. In June is PTSD Awareness Month. And here at PTSD and Beyond, we've been working on something pretty special for you. Something that you can listen to each and every day. Each day in the month of June, we'll be sharing the unique story of someone with lived experience with trauma and PTSD. We'll learn a little bit about their journey, how they're progressing through a healing journey, as well as hear their post-traumatic growth and how they've found meaning, purpose, and a superpower in the process of healing. We got to let you guys know that we are extremely grateful for all the folks that have shown tremendous courage to come on the podcast and share their stories and inspire everyone to listen to this podcast around the globe. We've had folks from England, Canada, New Zealand, India, Malaysia, Australia, the United States, and beyond. We felt that there was no better way to honor PTSD Awareness Month and to share the stories of our brothers and sisters from around the world and acknowledging their trauma, their challenges with PTSD, but also to teach us and to inspire us, allowing us a glimpse of their healing journey. We here at PTSD and Beyond hope that these stories will touch your heart and touch your soul and offer you inspiration and compassion for others suffering from PTSD, from folks that are affected by PTSD, as well as yourself. These are the powerful lived experience stories of real people. They are the champions who keep striving, who keep healing, who keep growing, and who keep living. We hope that you enjoy the PTSD and Beyond 30 Stories in 30 Days, honoring PTSD Awareness Month. Remember to please share these episodes with folks that you feel and you know will benefit. Remember to subscribe, like, and share. So let's give a listen to today's guests. 30 Stories in 30 Days starts now. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond, and we're doing another Share My Story segment. And you know, what is it about people's stories that make us stop and listen? It's like, no matter, what we're doing in the day, somebody will share their story and literally we'll take that pause because we're interested and their story captivates us in some way. And today's guest, you guys, is a certified substance abuse counselor, a certified trauma professional, and also the author of the book, The New Prophet. He's also the owner of Excelsior Addiction Services, and all his information is going to be in the summary bio. But guys, let's give a heartfelt welcome to Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. I meant it when I said about how stories captivate. They captivate us and they captivate a person who's listening. And right now there's somebody who you're going to captivate their attention and touch their heart. And with that, let's share a little bit about your story.
Okay. So I think I was always an emotionally sensitive person. As a child, I always describe it as just really big and loud feelings. And, you know, my mom, she was really good about like teaching me how, she taught me a lot of like, you know, deep breathing techniques and drawing my anger. But so I already kind of, I don't know, I think because of that, the way I interpreted the world was, it seemed like it was difficult, but I was also really outgoing as a kid. And, you know, I don't know when like the shame, the toxic shame kind of came into place, because I always had this like overactive guilt complex. And, you know, everything, but still, for all intents and purposes, I was a pretty normal kid up until I suffered some sexual abuse when I was young. And, you know, that kind of caused me to start to retreat and disconnect from the truth of who I am. Mm-hmm. And because I was already had such sensitive feelings, I became intensely uncomfortable in my own skin. And so when addiction and substances presented themselves, it seemed like the way to kind of make everything be quiet, at least a little bit, and make my situation more tolerable, because I didn't know how to cope with with what had happened. I didn't understand it. And, you know, and I stayed quiet for a long time about it. Because, you know, people that do that sort of thing are predators, and I was vulnerable, and, you know, it was a situation where, you know, they kind of swore me to secrecy, and it's a really confusing thing for a child to go through. So, yeah, so I found addiction, and it was, the solution. It was a brilliant way for me to survive. And I survived an addiction until that started to get worse and worse. And so it never really was like a having fun for me kind of thing. Some people say, you know, addiction is fun, then fun with problems, then just problems. For me, I went for like oblivion, you know, out the gate. Mm-hmm. And I always, and again, like, because like I knew, like, even underneath it all, I always knew who I was. I knew it wasn't in alignment with who I was. And, you know, so that sort of even perpetuated more of like that shame, because I knew like I had a lot of potential and I was a good human, but I was somehow, but because of like those false core beliefs that kind of got tied into that, I started to believe more and more that I was just, you know, a monster really. And, you know, by the time I was 21, I ended up in a psychiatric hospital. That was when I had a spiritual awakening too, because I realized that I wanted to stop using drugs, mm-hmm. but then I realized I couldn't stop using drugs. And I just wanted to be loved, and I just wanted to go home. There was people in my life that loved me. I had a home to go to, but it was again, like that sense of spiritual disconnection, that perpetual homesickness that I kind of suffered from, because I had abandoned myself. So what happened next was after I got out of the hospital a couple times, I went to the hospital in short succession, and I tried to control my substance use for the first time ever, because I'd never tried to control it, but I couldn't picture my life without it. And I wasn't ready to surrender to like 12-step recovery. So I went to psychiatry and therapy at that point. And for the next year and a half, just kind of tried to control it, which just doesn't work if you're someone like me. If you've already crossed that line of losing control, you can't really reset the clock and go back to, you know, how it was in the beginning, which again, for me, was pretty out of control even in the beginning. So when I was 22, the law intervened, and I'd gone to jail when I was 19, but only for like a few days. And this time I was looking at up to 40 years in prison, which is a long time, and for drugs. And I just didn't, it was exactly what I needed, because it kind of put everything on pause. And at this point, I had told my parents, when I was hospitalized, because the abuser was coming to the hospital to see me.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, because he was still, like, tied in very closely to my family, even though, like, I had put a stop to the abuse, you know, well before that point. But I just hadn't said anything about it. I just got, like, old enough to where, you know, I could defend my body and mm-hmm. defend myself. But I did tell them, and I didn't realize this till on this podcast journey, because I didn't remember, but I had only told my parents then that, like, this person tried to do something like that, because I was still too ashamed to, like, say out loud that this person molested me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then when I talked about it on another podcast, my dad heard about it, and he actually, you know, told me how sorry he was. And there's actually a piece of healing I didn't know that I needed, because I really needed him to hear him say that. So yeah, you never know what you're going to get out of these podcasts. That's for sure.
No, that is for sure. And thank you for sharing your story and the details about your story. There's many self quotes here that we're going to capture, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, use those for yourself. And there's other people who are listening for sure. I mean, things such as, you know, addiction is brilliant, but it shortened to survive. And the one that really spoke to me is, underneath it, I always knew who I was. I always knew who I was. So there was this self-awareness that you carried with you. And people who are survivors will often talk about things like the way that traumas affected them, in the sense of, and that person and that situation and what happened could not break my spirit. I couldn't break the awareness of the connection that I have with my soul self, if you want to call it, or mm-hmm. my true self. Yeah. Everybody has a different descriptor for it. And you talk here about how, you know, trauma has affected your life with things such as addiction, as well as reclusiveness with self and not being able to share and talk, and some of that inner dialogue also with, you know, going, you know, with prison. And what are some other ways that trauma has affected your life? I mean, how has it affected, if you know, reflectively as well as present, relationships, things that you're working on right now, like your book, for example. So how has trauma affected your life in other ways?
So, like, negative or positive ways?
Any way that you want. Kevin, this is your time. I want to let you know, too, the beauty about doing these episodes is this time right now is your mini autobiography. And I'm going to get emotional here, because this right now moment for you will live on forever. This piece right now that we're doing will be generations to share with your legacy. And for the listener out there, this is, you're part of this. You are part of this. We are here together in this moment, and this will live on forever, even when we're not here. So you talk about spiritual self. This is like, I can't applaud you enough for doing it, really. So this is your time. So however you want it to be, Kevin.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I guess now that I'm thinking, I mean, presently there is no negative way that really affects me, at least not through the lens of how I see it. Because I was very hypervigilant for a really long time, and there's still like traces of that. But I think because of that, I tuned into human behavior a lot, and I was already interested in human behavior. Like, my science fair project in elementary school was on human behavior, actually.
Oh, cool.
And so I think, like, it really has helped me with psychology and working with other people. And just noticing, you know, when somebody's safe or not safe, or, you know, like, so yeah, really it's helped me with my overall awareness of environment, and other people's nervous systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's taught me resilience. I think it's probably like one of the biggest things it's taught me, because like when things get more difficult, I tend to work harder. And now that I'm not like, you know, going through like the fires of hell, that can take me pretty far. And, you know, there's still stuff that happens in life that I don't like. But I'm no longer stuck in that cycle to where I'm creating my own stuff. And I guess also a big gift is that it's really helped me to help other people because it's put me in touch with that empathetic connection even more. It's allowed me to kind of embrace my emotional sensitivity, which has turned out to be a major gift in relating to other people, which has helped me in writing that book, you know, which has helped me in my business, why I'm effective, you know, very effective with like establishing rapport with clients.
Yeah.
Because I can speak their language and I've been to all the dark places that the mind can go.
Yep.
So there's never any question that there's going to be judgment with me.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, and I guess that's the PTSD and beyond part, you know? So for a long time, it negatively affected the way I trust people and all that kind of stuff. But because of that, it pointed to a lot of work that I could do on myself. You know, so I'm no longer held hostage by the past and the present. It doesn't invade my space anymore. And I can visit it by choice if I want to, like in situations like this, and not like go into like the response of a child, you know, because when I first got out of jail, that same person showed up at my house, like at my parents' house, which I moved back into, like after like years of probably not showing up because my dad had told the guy to like, you know, get lost. And the guy shows up and I'm there by myself. And I remember like, I responded totally like in PTSD and I ended up like hiding in a corner and like shaking like a leaf, like, a, you know, and crying like a scared child when I could have like easily just, you know, beat up this old guy if I wanted to, you know,
mm-hmm.
But like, so I wasn't like today, you know, I'd be able to like, I mean, the guy's passed away, but in a situation like that, I'm not going to like, it's not going to overpower me and overcome me. I'm going to be able to stand tall in who I am. Because I know that like, again, it's just that,
definitely,
it's been integrated and released and it doesn't hold me, you know, it doesn't weigh me down any longer.
You have such a developed level of sense of self. I mean, there's multiple layers here. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about is the way that we've grown, and you've shared this with us about, you know, that you have these empathetic gifts, your, you know, sense of self, as well as connection with other people to be able to build rapport. And there's so many gifts here. You've embraced your emotional sensitivity. You're aware of it. You use it. Revisiting the past is a choice, and it's something that you're able to revisit, and it doesn't creep up and decide to, you know, be the seen and heard individual that's standing in the forefront of the stage of life, of daily life. You're able to say, hey, you know what? And I talked about this the other day too. I used the word eviction notice. You know what? You know what? You got to go, right? You're getting evicted. There's no space for you here today. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know, like, what's your superpower? You've got all these growth areas. And we grow and we grow and we grow, and there's continuous growth. So what's your superpower?
I mean, I think my superpower, I guess it would be, I think it's like a threefold thing that kind of all comes together. And it's like that I love myself, that I've forgiven myself, and that I trust myself. And because of that, like, I'm able to do everything that I am in this world. And like, but I really think the power is teaching other people how to get to that place with themselves.
Yep.
Because once you get there, it's like, once you forgive yourself, you can fall in love with yourself. And once you fall in love with yourself, you can trust yourself. And once you can trust yourself and really listen to your intuition and know that it's your gut speaking and not your head speaking, and know where your heart is and listen to your heart, you know, no longer like Carl Jung's quote, no longer does the unconscious, you know, direct the consciousness, and we call it fate. Like, we're able to be empowered and choose where we go in our life because, you know, we're able to listen and to that still quiet voice that's kind of always there if we're tuned in the present.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. I hope that the person who's listening right now, that you go back 30 seconds and you re-listen to what Kevin just said here, because that is beautiful. You learn to love yourself, you forgive yourself, you trust yourself, and it all interconnects. And then when you can do that, then there's this sense of confidence. And I think that confidence then is what can be in the forefront especially when faced with anything that comes our way on a daily level. That is really growth, and the beyond part, which is why we call PTSD and beyond that. It doesn't define who we are, and we're not stuck in these moments. There is a beyond. There's a organizations and universities that are doing studies on post-traumatic growth, and it's recent. And what's interesting about that research and some of the research is that there's another layer. There's another layer. And so for us, the other layer is exactly what you said about helping other people and teaching other people that they too. And so we're able to show others that through our story, you know, you can connect with us as well as get inspiration and hope.
Yeah, hope. Yeah, for sure. That's what I was thinking.
So with that, because we know right now there's a person who you've touched. It always happens. There's always somebody who's like sending a message saying, you know what, I've heard this before, but it's the way that they said it. And I've really connected with Kevin. And so to that person out there who's listening, what would you say to them right now, Kevin?
I'd say that you're not the things that your mind tells you, that these beliefs that are holding you down and holding you back can be unlearned and undone. And you can come into alignment with the truth of who you are, and you're lovable you're lovable just because you're lovable. You don't need any reason or validation. There's no amount of good you have to do just simply by being yourself, you know, and to use your voice, because there's people that need to hear it and will listen to it.
And that's exactly why we do these podcast episodes, because there is somebody who does need to hear it. And they might have heard it, I don't know, 50 times, 1,000 times before, but it's the way that you're saying it. Any last second thoughts before we get ready to conclude with our episode today? Anything else that you want to share with anybody who's listening?
I don't think so. I think that about sums it up.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Kevin, and sharing your story. We're going to have all your information so people can connect. And to do a real quick plug here, Kevin's book, The New Prophet, we're going to have a direct link. So if you want to go ahead and check out his book, connect with him on Twitter and other socials such as Facebook and Instagram. We'll have all of his information in the summary bio. If you like this episode, make sure that you give us a rating and say something about it. If you connect with Kevin, let him know, hey, man, I heard you on PTSD and Beyond. So that way he'll go, oh, hey, that's awesome. You checked us out. Fantastic. And I mean that truly. Also, his website's going to be on there. ExcelsiorAddictionServices.com. If you want to go check them out early, that's cool. And we will make sure that we stay in touch for sure and promote your stuff and your podcast, what you've got going on. So thanks again, awesome. Kevin, for being on today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Remember to subscribe, because when you do subscribe, you get an early notice that a new episode's dropped. If not, then you'll check us out on Friday, and we'll see you guys again.
We hope you enjoyed today's guest and their story on 30 Stories in 30 Days on the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button, as well as to like and share and comment. And make a note, because guys, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, we've got another story on 30 Stories in 30 Days at PTSD and Beyond.